the smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
The one thing I know, Marketing Smarts listeners, is that social media moves at the speed of light or sound, or definitely something faster than mere mortal humans. And so today we're going to talk about how B2B marketers can use an organic social media strategy for success in 2023, right now, today. And of course, as always, I'm not alone. We are with Doreen Morin Van Dam. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what keeps her up at night when it comes to social and the organic strategy that you may or may not be using. We're going to talk about how to get started. We're going to talk about hurdles along the way. What does success look like? And of course, we'll arrive or land the plane at those gratifying words of wisdom that we get from the experts each week. But before we do, let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor. Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? And now that we're done with that, let's go ahead and get into this B2B marketer conversation about organic social media strategy for success for you, the B2B marketer, the Marketing Smarts listener. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the good stuff. Marketing Smarts listeners, this is going to be a very organic conversation about strategy and maybe being social. But luckily, I'm not alone and I am ready to get into the good stuff because Doreen, you are here with me. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
I am better now that you're here. Boom, shh. That's a good dad joke to get us going. Here's the thing. I like to get into the good stuff immediately. One of the questions that we first like to ask with the Marketing Smarts podcast around this topic, which people clicked on the title, they know we're talking about how B2B markets can use an organic social media strategy for success in 2023. What the heck keeps you up at night?
Oh, trying to get all the content out for all my clients at the right platform. That's really where my zone of genius is, making sure that every single one of my clients got the right content to reach the right audience and that I didn't forget to create something. And for me, organically, that means especially awareness days, being, you know, trending topics, making sure that I know what's going on in the world of Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn. And so then I can advise my client and then together we create content that's going to do the same for them as I hope it does for me.
So I have to immediately go off the beaten path because when you use the words stay up to date and social media together, feels like almost an impossibility. So how in the world do you keep up to date on all the different platforms, on all the new stuff? Like, what does a day in the life of Doreen look like then?
Well, I do a lot of content consumption. You know, in order to create good content, you have to consume it. And it's just a reality where there, I might not post on TikTok for myself. I might not be on there for myself as more in media, but I need to know what's going on. I need to know what's trending. I need to know what sounds are trending. But really the biggest thing is that I need to know what's the latest updates on each platform. I need to know if LinkedIn has a new feature or if Instagram has a new feature. I go try them out because, first of all, I need to know so I can advise my clients, yeah, you know, let's go with Reels, which is happening. But also, and this is like a secret sauce that everybody should know, and maybe you already know, and maybe we don't know. But if there's a new feature, every single platform that throws out a new feature, they're going to put a lot of push behind it, the algorithm-wise. So if LinkedIn is pushing out LinkedIn Live, you want to be on LinkedIn Live because that's where you're going to get the most traction. If they come out with a carousel that now has both videos and images, you want to post those. So that's the other part. It's not just like, hey, what are people posting and what content, but what are the features they're using and what are the newest features that are coming out, because you want to be using them.
I love that answer because there's a couple hidden gems in there. One, I already have the base information that I need to know. Therefore, I can just pay attention to the updates. The reason that I'm paying attention to the updates is that's the like hot take on what we should be using at least for the next 30 to 60, 90 days before marketers ruin it.
Yes.
Right. So understanding that is really key. And what's fun too, when I was listening to you in that segment, I immediately went to, well, I hope everybody knows that like LinkedIn Live was a thing a while ago. But then I went to, God, I love that LinkedIn allows me to schedule my posts right now. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting tidbit of information. So let's kind of start with some foundational pieces. A lot of folks out there, B2B marketers, you'll be like, hey, do you have a social media strategy? And immediately, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, yeah, we do paid social. That's not the conversation we're having today. We're having the conversation around organic social media strategy. So what I like to do, Doreen, is to kind of set a baseline. When we say those words, when we say organic social media strategy, what exactly do you mean by that?
That means a strategy centered around content. Really, it's about content. And the biggest secret there is that when you're organic content, when it's your testing ground. So when things do well in organic, you can then take them and use them as paid ads or use that formula for paid ads. Vice versa, when paid ads do really well, you got to pay attention to that too, because that also might mean those ads, when you post them on social organically or the same type of content, do well. So they really do work together. But an organic content strategy means that you're creating content that your audience wants. That means answering the questions that they have. And you know who wrote the book on that. Right? Marcus Sheridan, they ask, you answer. That is the formula I've been using with all of my clients for 10 years or more. The first thing I do when I work with a new client, I say to them, start gathering before we even meet and put a strategy together. Start gathering all the questions you've ever received about your business that your associates, you know, get through email, through phones, through direct messages. What questions are people asking? And that's the start of your content marketing strategy.
So it's funny because I was going to go off the beaten path and I think you gave me the answer, but I'm still going to ask the question so we can just circle back around and really solidify what I heard. Because in that segment, you said, hey, what we're really talking about is content. And my brain went to, well, what do we say to the B2B marketers who are listening to this that might not have a content engine up and running? And my question for you is going to be like, hey, if you ever start to work with a client and they don't have that content, what do you do? Is that the only starting point of like Marcus Sheridan, they ask you answer, or is there a whole plethora of things like that you do to tune up or start the content engine, if you will, at an organization?
Well, the content engine starts with doing a strategy. So I start, and the first thing in a 90-minute strategy would be asking them what their goals are. Why do you want to be on social media? I've had so many people come to me that says, oh, I need you because my friend told me I need to be on Pinterest. And I'm like, well, do you want to be on it? Is your audience on it? What do you try to accomplish, right? So the strategy starts with goals. What do you want to accomplish by hiring somebody and by using social media? Those two different things, right? What do you want to accomplish by hiring me and paying me a good fee? And what do you want to accomplish with starting social media? Do you want awareness? Do you want to sell books? Do you want to get service calls? Do you want the phone call to ring through Google? Do you want people to direct message you? Do you want to sell a product? Those are all different things and all valid reasons to be on social media. So that's the starting point. And then I look at what they have, right? So most businesses that come to me, They're not startups. They have some. Sometimes they have talent. So they have people with skills. There might be a video editor there. It might be somebody who loves to take photography. There might be somebody who's an awesome writer. So I go and dive deep into what they already have. And then we go to the content strategy. What is the audience? What does the audience look like, right? Who are their avatars? And what content do they need? What do we want to create for those ideal? And sometimes there's two or three avatars that we want to target. But usually I try to stick to one or two just to get started and make it easier. But that's really where it starts. But if somebody's like, well, I want to get started on content next week, I tell them, start answering questions.
I love that, by the way, Marketing Smarts listeners. That is probably a rewind spot. There was, again, a bunch of kind of hidden gems just. So here's the thing. We make time for what is important in life. And so this is kind of a two-part question. I'm sneaking one in, if you will. The first part of this question is, why is organic social media strategy essential right now for organizations? And when I say organizations, this is the second part of the conversation. I can't tell you how many folks I'll talk to, and it's the marketer doing a social media strategy on the brand accounts, but there's nothing being talked about employees actually helping to amplify that brand messaging with their personal accounts. So here's my question. Why is organic social media strategy essential for B2B marketers today? And is it only for the marketers to play with, or should it be a holistic organizational game?
All right. That's a great question. I'm going to answer that with one word initially. Community. Community is the word. You and I both were at Inbound in 2022. Community is the new thing. We have a friend, a mutual friend, that just put out a book about community. Everybody, it's about community. If you're a brand, you want to bring people together. You want to have your super fan talking with your ambassadors, talking with your new fans. You want people talking together about your product, about your service. You want to build community. In order to do that, you need to have a content strategy. And community most likely will start out organically, right? By people talking about your brand. And I have a great example that I use in one of the presentations that I do about community. And it's for the brand Aldi. Now, I don't know if you live in a place where you have an Aldi, George, but I lived in Myrtle Beach and now I live in Vermont and we have an Aldi. I'm a super Aldi fan because I grew up in Europe where we had Aldi. So the whole concept of paying a quarter for your cart, all that stuff. Okay, here's the story. I'm vegan. I don't eat meat. I don't eat eggs. I don't eat dairy, right? I've been that for 8 years. Right around the pandemic, right before the pandemic, we moved to Vermont and we only could shop once every 2 weeks or so, right? Didn't want to be in a grocery store. So I was online in a Facebook group, and there was that regular Aldi Facebook group, and people kept referencing this red bag chicken. Now, again, I'm a vegan. But they're talking about red bag chicken. And it got to the point where I'm like, I have to figure it out what this is. So I went to the store, couldn't find it, looked online, and I found a Facebook group, a community for the Aldi red bag chicken. And what it is, people will tell you and say, Vermont store, Rutland, 3 o'clock, Friday afternoon. You know, I saw 8 bags. Or, you know, Pennsylvania, 2 o'clock. You know, Tuesday, they had 10 bags. They just opened a box, right? And people were helping each other find this red bag chicken. So here I go to the store and I buy chicken that I even can't eat. But then I make it for my sons, who then loved it. You supposedly have to prepare it in an air fryer and put a pickle on it. It tastes like Chick-fil-A. It's amazing. That's a community. That's a organic way that this brand has grown for this one product. If you can have a Facebook group and a community for chicken, fried chicken, you can have it for any product that you have. You just have to find the right people and have the right conversations. Did I answer your question?
I love that so much. Yeah, no, I love that so much because, well, first of all, before I tell you why Marketing Smarts and Doreen, why I love that section, if you haven't checked out the interview we did with the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Schaefer on the what, why, and how of community and brand building for B2B marketing victory, you definitely need to go check that episode out. It was so much fun. Recording that with Mark. He is a good human that just has a lot of great information, like Doreen as well. Doreen, I love that because I heard Aldi. My wife loves Aldi's. We weren't there all the time.
Yeah.
The fact that it was a pickle and Chick-fil-A, absolutely, I'm down with that all day long. And so just so much good stuff. But I do agree with you that it should be a community type situation. And listen, one marketer or even a team of marketers, it's hard to manage a community and community conversations. So I do believe that we lean into that. It should be an entire organization sport where we're all helping to move the needle in an upward direction. Here's the thing. If you're a marketer and you're listening to this, and we do believe that it should be an all-company sport, Doreen, have you ever seen ways that marketers can help enable other departments to share things socially, organically?
Right. Yes. Actually, I interviewed somebody who's really smart called Kate Bradley Turnus from Lately, and she uses a Slack channel where she, when somebody says something smart, one of their customers or somebody that she's been interviewed by on a podcast, she goes into the Slack channel and goes, everybody pile on, love pile. And they all get the notification and they go to this person and they love on either the podcast she was on or something they said or a book she wrote, because she said, once you're in our circle of friends, we're going to love on you. And I think that's a great way to do that. A great, instead of saying, well, all employees report over here and all share this. No, no, no. They're not asking their employees to necessarily share it. They can if they want to. They're asking them to pile on their love. It's a difference in company culture. It's a different in bringing it, George. It's how you put it out there, right? So this person is now affiliated with our company. We love them. They might be a teeny tiny customer and they may become this wonderful super fan or brand ambassador for ours eventually. And how you do that is by piling on the love. And so I think the Slack channel is great. You can also just tag each other. But I think that behind the scenes is a great way to do that. And I think they keep running lists of all the people, like they'll do Twitter lists. And that's another great idea. Twitter list, or, you know, share stuff internally in an email like, hey, these are the people we want to highlight this week. Go check it out. You shouldn't require anything of anybody. And as a leader, you should model it. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you're a team leader and you want your team to do that, liking, sharing, and having conversations on social media is free. It takes time, but it's free to do. Show how it's done and encourage people and applaud people and have conversations. And when you do that, other people are going to want to be part of it.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast. So good. That section is so good. And I love this idea of just getting people to pile on to something that is already happening and not demanding and leading the way. There is something to be said about leaders who can serve and kind of show, like, this is how we want it to be done. That is spectacular in organizations. Now, this next question, I fully understand, Doreen, it might sound like I'm talking about Sasquatch or the Loch Ness Monster. It's like something that doesn't really exist or you never ever will see. But I also am the type of person who likes to ask the question that may never get asked because of assumptions. And so if we do have, and by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you are this person, please tweet me, DM me, do something, like send up smoke signals, because that might be more of your jam than actually DMing me on social. But if you're a B2B marketer out there and you're not using social media, there's the Sasquatch. watch, The Loch Ness Monster. How can B2B marketers that aren't potentially doing this actually get started? Like, is there an easy way to start, an easy button, a way to dip your toe in the water? Because if I wasn't using social right now, and all of a sudden somebody said that I had to, and I had to do it based on content, I would be, well, I'd be a little scared right now.
Yeah, I would start on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is I think, a great place to be, especially for a B2B marketer. And go, you know, it used to be when I started on LinkedIn like 10, 12 years ago, almost like a resume, a CV, right? You put your information on there and maybe you connect with the people you actually meet in person. But, you know, meeting people you don't know online was kind of a scary thing. But it's not like that anymore. There's incredible content out there. So I would say, go to LinkedIn and do some observations. And if you don't want to post anything, I tell my clients this all the time. You don't even have to post. I know LinkedIn experts who barely post on LinkedIn. You know what they do? They leave 5 comments a day. And when you comment on other people's content, you are seen, you become an influencer, you become a leader, and you will see the power of social media. People will reach out to you and they'll come to you with opportunities, some good, some not so good. But you'll start having conversations. And here's the other secret that I want to tell you. A lot of what's happening on social media on the outside that we see, that we might see on Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, you're right if you're thinking it's all a bunch of inflated stuff, right? I don't want to say the real word. But where it happens is in the private conversations. I tell people, when I tell my clients, your DMs, your LinkedIn DMs, your messengers, that's where the real conversations happen. George, when you and I were trying to record, we messaged on Facebook. I recorded my podcast this morning. I messaged my friend in the Netherlands on LinkedIn. The real conversations are happening where you are not seeing them between people. I'm always surprised to hear, like, this person knows this person, this, like, was I the connector? I don't know if I'm the connector, but it doesn't matter because we're all sort of connected. So if you're scared, Facebook, definitely things are inflated and like ghosts from your past come out. I feel like on Facebook, people from literally when I was 10 years old and living somewhere in the Netherlands a long time ago are finding me, right? And I'm in my 50s. So that's kind of a really long time ago that people are finding me. And then on Instagram, I feel like, you know, that's kind of a display. Look at me, right? And so LinkedIn, I feel is still the platform where you, if in marketing, if you're running a business or a marketing department, I think that's a great place to dip your toes in. And the other part, if you don't want to have a presence on social media, just go consume some content, read some blogs, right? Go on your husband or wife or spouse's social media, ask them to log in and go consume an hour of TikTok. You will be amazed. Just watch what other people are creating because it's really changed in the last few years.
I love this idea of research what people are creating. I think that's absolutely magical. And I agree with everything that you said in that last segment. And I would plus one, the idea of being, you know, powerful in the comment section. There's nothing that excites me more than when an actual great conversation starts to take place in the comment section where people have actually stopped long enough to think about the topic at hand, the piece of content that was the conversation starter. It's absolutely fascinating to see when that happens in the way that it was supposed to instead of the way that many people game it.
Sure.
Or I like Doreen that you said, I don't like to say the word. Usually when I don't like to say the word, I say it's a bunch of
yeah,
and then that's just everybody knows exactly what I mean when I do that. So I want to address one little piece before we kind of start with a couple landing questions here and we let people go back to the regular scheduled day, because again, in B2B marketing, sometimes, you know, B2C, people think that's kind of the sexy place, and of course we can create content and of course we would do, but what do you say to the company, the marketer that works in a company who feels like the products and services are too boring for social, man, I hate this question, but I love this question, right?
Yeah.
Too boring for social media. Who would ever even give a crap if we posted something? Like, what would you say to them?
You need buy-in from the person who started the company to have fun, to nerd out, to think outside the box. In order to make a boring product or service sexy, you need to get a buy-in from everybody. And that means going to the source, going to the person who founded the business and saying, tell me why you started this. If it's money, you know, that might be really hard. But if it's any other reason, right? If it's any other reason, I wanted to, you know, create this product because my disabled son was going to have a better life. Or I wanted to start this pharma company because people were paying too much money. Or my grandma needed a product. She was blind and couldn't see. And that's why I created this product. And now everybody's using it and putting it in homes. Whatever this, find the story behind this business, manufacturing, you know, service, whatever it is, B2B, and talk to the people who are at the helm and find their stories and then get permission from them to be different. Because you know what's going to make you stand out on social is not do what everybody else is doing. And I cannot tell you how much of a pushback we get when we say that, because they are literally, the middle managers are taught to look at what other people are doing. We're comparing ourselves to what other people are doing, right? Well, they are not doing that. Why would we? They're not posting on LinkedIn. Why would we? They're not doing TikToks. Why would we? That is exactly the reason that you should, because you're going to be different and you're going to be perceived different. So step outside the box, ask for permission, be nerdy, have fun, do fun videos, and test, right? The only way to get good content is to test 100 ideas, and 98 might flop, and 2 might get you a post that is going to go crazy, that people will pile on and love what you do. And that's, but you, that comes from the top down. So go to them for their stories, involve them in this content. And that's the best advice I can give you. Have fun. If you like going to work, but you think you have a boring product, what do you love about going to work? Talk about company culture. Talk about dancing when the UPS guy shows up. I mean, I can give you 100 ideas, but post that human part to the B2B brand on social media and people will connect with that.
Such good advice. I hope people were literally bullet pointing down the things that you're saying of like, have fun, find the story, be different, add in human elements. Like there's a roadmap, literally, if people would rewind that section and just start bullet pointing the things that you were pointing to, it's a roadmap to success. Which, speaking of, in a minute, I'm going to ask you, what does organic social success look like? But before we get there, in that journey to trying to be successful with this organic strategy, there's probably going to be some potholes or hurdles along the way. To help us not hit those potholes or hurdles, Doreen, what are some things that you've just fundamentally seen some B2B or just brands in general like, oh, yep, you just jacked that up. Like, what are the hurdles that we should watch out for?
Content approval. It's one of the biggest hurdles. It's not trusting the marketing team to be your brand voice, to get too many opinions in there and too many people wanting to get saying, well, we can do this or we can do that. Look, if you hire a talented marketing team and they understand the business and they get access to the sales team who's selling your product and get and understand what they're selling, why they're selling, you have access to the team, that the financial team, so you know what's selling, what are the best sellers, what your financial status is, right, what your revenue is, you have access to your C-suite and you understand what their goals are, then you're going to need to let marketing test and try things. You know, the best viral tweets and the best viral content we've seen from big companies are from social media managers sitting behind a screen just like this that have permission to fail. Okay, let me say it again. They have permission to fail. The one of the famous examples is when Pharrell had that happy song and he got an award and he wore the big hat and RB tweeted, Pharrell, give us back our hat. That went crazy. If he had to go to ask for permission from somebody or a marketing manager and didn't have permission to put that tweet out or put that on Instagram, none of that would have happened. You, if you're listening to this, you're C-suite and you're in B2B, give your marketing team permission to fail. That also means giving them permission to try new things. I think that's one of the biggest hurdles. That content approval, you have to approve the concepts of what you're doing and you have to, you know, have the content strategy plan in place. Like, we're going to do some evergreen posts and some salesy posts, and we're going to run a sales campaign, and we're going to highlight our members, and we're going to, you know, all of those things. But then once you have that framework, let them go and let them fail if they need to, because that's how they're going to succeed.
Yeah, I almost broke out into like the Let It Go song from Frozen, but I decided that Marketing Smarts listeners would not probably like that very much. But I do love that section because this idea of giving them freedom to try and test and almost a culture of that there's not really failure. There's just lessons that we're going to learn along the way. And so I'll go ahead and kind of lean into the mirror version of this question that I asked. What is organic or organic social media strategy success look like? We've reached first place, gold medal around our neck, on the podium. Like, what is, paint us a picture of what that looks like.
Well, it paints the picture that you need to have is that at the beginning of this of the cycle, whether that's a quarter or a year, you have your goals. Why did you want to be on social media, right? And then you need to see improvement in those goals. And for some companies, when the budget is teeny tiny, the goal might be our traffic went up from 1,000 people a month to 5,000 a month. Or for a big company might be our email list went from 1,000 people to 30,000 people on the email list, depending on what your goal is. The biggest thing with organic, you have to see movement and you have to see growth. So the growth will depend on your resources, time, money, and how much you put into it, right? If you post only twice a week on organic and you have a teeny tiny budget and you send one email newsletter a month, your growth is going to look and your success is going to look very different than when you have a large marketing team. You've got email, you know, a dedicated email marketer, you send out email sequences, you want to grow your list, you're doing paid ad alongside with the organic. It's going to look different. But the biggest thing is you need to have growth and conversations on social. If you're not building your audience and now you're not listening to your audience, whether you're building an open community on these different platforms or you have a dedicated community, say a Facebook group or a LinkedIn group or somewhere on social, you have to be building that community and you have to have conversations because the best content that you can create is content based on the feedback you get from people. That's how you improve your content, right? So you start with the content that you think they want, you test everything, then the things that work the best, you're going to go evaluate that every month or every week, however, you know, what, again, what your resources are. And you can make content that looks like the one that did really well and make it even better. So you have to build upon that. So success is growth. Success is movement. Success is building a community, having conversations. And ultimately, that will result in super fans, brand ambassadors, more sales, more people that want to work for you, retention of customers, and all of those other things that you want.
I love this vision of success that you painted. And I really, really, really love this idea of community equals conversations equals future content. There's just something absolutely magical about that if you kind of map it out. It makes me think about the interview I did with Nate Brown too about voice of customer and actually having a way to hear those conversations kind of coming back to the marketing team. Doreen, this has been an absolutely amazing interview filled with gems and nuggets that people can use as they move forward. I always like to end the episode with words of wisdom. We've all been on a journey. You've helped other people on their journey. And so what are some words of wisdom you want to leave the Marketing Smarts audience around how B2B marketers can use an organic social media strategy for success in, we'll say 2023, but when I'm asking the question, I really mean years to come.
Yeah. Work with your teammates. One brain and two brains don't equal two brains, equals even better. When you put the power together of teams and of ideas, listen to all the voices on your team. Come up with content that works. Go test it. So I think that is the essence of what I want to tell you moving forward. You might have an idea, and if you implement it by yourself, it's probably great because it's your idea. When two or three people come up with an idea and five or eight people implement it because they get all excited about the plan and all excited about implementation, it's that dog pile, it's that pile on, right? So just because you're on a marketing team and you're the video editor doesn't mean that your opinion doesn't count on what kind of video you have to create. It's when everybody stays in their lane, nothing exciting happens. But when everybody works together as a team and all voices are heard on the team, whether it's a team of three or five of seven, that's when the magic happens. So really treasure those teammates, your marketing team that you're on. Sit around and have these sessions of brainstorming. This is the one thing that we want to do. What do you think? What have you seen? Where have you been online? What are some examples of content that stopped the scroll for you? And build upon that, because all those brains together is just going to be amazing.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag, MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Joe Polizzi about the mechanics of starting and running a content-first B2B marketing department, and, of course, version 2, epic content coming out soon, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.